I'm interviewing Richard McCarahan. It is November 30th, 2020, at 1:03 p.m. Do you consent to this recording?
I consent to this recording.
Okay. So, when did you meet Harry Carroll, and what was he like?
I don't remember very much about the meeting, except it obviously went well, to judge by results.
Yeah.
And then I worked with him for, you know, for 10 years. He died in 1983, I think. 1983.
Yeah.
And I'd been on sabbatical in Greece in 1982, 83. He died, I think, just before I arrived, just before I came back. So I was with him anyway for, you know, all the best part of 10 years as a junior colleague. And he was terrific. He was so supportive and nice and funny, and the students loved him. They worshipped him. I still remember parties at his house where he and his wife Olive, they had no children, so the students were the children, and you know, he took care of everybody, and was, you know, and people remember Harry with great fondness. So he wasn't much of a publisher. He was a great teacher and a very loyal member of Pomona College, and a very influential person on the faculty. In faculty meetings, when he stood up, he's a short guy, when he stood up to his full height and said, "Mr. President, I object," the president of the college kind of trembled because Harry did not mince his words. Harry was a very brave person, as is indicated by the fact that in World War II, he was in the army, a sergeant, I think. He wasn't an officer, and he was one of the first people to go into the Dachau concentration camp.
Wow.
And that was a, you know, a serious kind of event for him. And after that, he, you know, he realized how cheap life was, and, you know, and you know, so he was a kind of fearless person. Harry loved Greece, and he went there as often as he could, which wasn't that often. I don't know how good his Greek was, because I didn't have any Greek at the time. And ancient Greek, yes, but modern Greek, no. But he organized the connection between Pomona and College here in Athens, where we're still sending students, you know. And so originally, I mean, there would be people going, students would be going there, but what Harry did, he wangled this deal so that he would go with them, spend the semester there, teach a course at College here in Athens, and take them on, and kind of be a resource. And he also would take them on a field trip before the CYA program began, and so that they could go to some places that they wouldn't go on the field trips that College here in Athens do.
So Harry wasn't a trained archaeologist, right? He was a historian.
He, his PhD was in history. And ancient history, obviously, and but no, he wasn't an archaeologist. But the thing is that the American School of Classical Studies—it sounds like very general, and it is. It tries to be, but its basic function is to be the representative, the official representative of American archaeology in Greece. So if you want to excavate, you don't just go with a shovel and start digging it up. You have to get a permit, and they give 3 excavation permits per year to the United States, and you've got to go through the American school, and if they don't want you to be among the top 3, then you don't get it. So it's an essential ingredient in how archaeology is done.
Okay, so he didn't have any, like, official archaeological role?
I don't believe so.
Okay, do you know what his attitudes were about archaeology?
Well, I mean, he knew something about it, obviously, because that's what you learn. That's what I learned when I went on the American School training program there. And so I'm sure he was able to take people around. We never coincided there, so I can't say anything about that. I guess we're getting towards the shards.
Yeah.
Yes, right. And I remember one time he went to Morocco, I think it was, with his wife, and I remember some photographs that he had there. So he may have picked up some shards there, some in Greece perhaps, some in Italy. I don't know where he would have done that. I'm sure, you know, he loved going around to archaeological sites. That was very clear. And it helps the teaching, especially in a history course, right? It's not, I drag it into my philosophy courses, but in history, it's just a natural to show people, this is the Acropolis, this is the Agora, where the councils met for Socrates was tried on this site, things like that. And it really brings it to life in ways that if you're just reading a textbook, it doesn't do that. And he was a master of that kind of, generating interest in that way.
So for our listeners to know, you're a Greek citizen, you spend a lot of time in Greece. What has your experience been seeing the archaeology happening in Greece over time?
Well, I don't hang out with archaeologists particularly.
Yeah.
I can tell you, though, I had dinner a couple of times with a husband and wife who are both Greeks, and they're archaeologists, and they happen to have a house in the same seaside town that my wife and I have our house. And we met them through other people, and we kind of liked one another and so forth. And they showed me a whole lot of shards that they'd found, fragments of pottery and things like that. Just on the tiny little islands outside, just offshore of this particular town, and they had them in their room, and they showed, and they said, oh, now you can tell by the patterns on this that this is a medieval thing, or Byzantine period, and this was older, and some of these things that had just been lying around, exposed to the elements, had been there for over 2,000 years.
Mm.
They're just sitting there waiting to be picked up by anybody who wants to pick them up. As for instance, these, which I have picked up around the place. And
are these ones from archaeological sites or just around Greece?
No, I don't. I'm not going to take anything from an archaeological site. They would. I don't know if you want to see these.
Yeah.
But these are from one of the islands just off the coast there, from Galaxidi, and they're coarseware. And that one seems to have some color on the outside that may have been, decorative at some point. These are, if I remember my art, and here's something that has some kind of coating there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Sorry, I'm almost out.
Yeah, this one has a paint or something on it.
These ones.
And what do you suppose that was?
A handle?
I would think so. And maybe that one, that's probably the rim of a cup, don't you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's, that has some decoration there, you see that?
Yeah.
The stripe? And then all these are kind of wavy, and I think these are what he was describing as Byzantine, kind of, around 1,000 or so CE.
So these would just be lying in
the
dirt.
They're just lying on the ground.
Yeah, and it's acceptable to pick them up and take them.
Well, nobody noticed. I mean, it's uninhabited islands. I didn't feel I was, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like they're endangered species or anything that. So I didn't even think to ask. These would be, no museum would want these because, I mean, they could go out, if they wanted to, they could get tons of them just by, going around. So I don't, it didn't occur to me to ask. And here's this archaeologist, and the two archaeologists who have a bunch of stuff like this in their house and were showing me and telling me what they were.
Yeah.
And if they aren't worried, why should I be worried? They could lose their licenses or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any issue about this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you, sorry. As far as you know, Harry just probably picked these shards up off the ground.
Yes, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And there's no telling where they came from either, because as I said, he went to different countries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, maybe if you really knew about ancient pottery, you could say, this couldn't possibly come from this country, but it, because the clay is wrong or something like that. But I'm not, I don't know how accurate, I don't know anything about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think he, the purpose of picking them up was kind of just to have little keepsakes?
Yeah.
Or do you think there was a teaching, pedagogic purpose?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know that there was this collection of shards until Lily told me about this recently. So it's not something that I remember him doing, but he could well have had, these just sat in his drawer. I haven't looked at them for 10 years, probably. And right. so he could have well had a drawer someplace with some things that he brought out every year at some point for his ancient history class. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Do you have any final thoughts before we end?
Well, I can't say how grateful I am for his encouraging me to go to Greece.
Yeah.
Because not knowing that I would, I mean, I must know a lot more about Greece than Harry ever did because of my existence and what I do there and so forth. And I'm into Greek universities and things like that in ways that I'm sure he wasn't. He liked to hang around and drink ouzo with his friends and stuff like that. I think he had some good, probably Greek friends, probably some American friends from the American school that he kind of hung out with when he was there. That's my impression. I don't think he was using the library that much, except perhaps to get ready for the next time he was taking some students to see some site, and he wanted to find out what, you know, more things about it. But as far as research, no. But he, you know, he loved the place, and I love it in his way, and I love it in my way. And without him, that wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.